Gus Malzahn at Auburn will be going after him. But he's a guy that's extremely popular, has the name recognition, and certainly is very well-liked and well-known by high school coaches around the state. I would think as far as throwing that wall up around Arkansas, keeping Horton on staff would be a step in the right direction. Let's go to Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com, and we wish him a happy new year. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy New Year to you guys, too.
Happy New Year, big guy.
So we are starting to get back to normal here a little bit. We got a few bowl games left, and we need to talk about some of those. What was your reaction to the start of the big games? I guess it kind of began on New Year's Eve. Vanderbilt coming through big time. LSU falling short against Clemson. Had some good games yesterday. Give me kind of your overview from the last couple of days.
The last few days, I'll tell you what, the Georgia Tech game went about how I expected it. USC did not look very good against the option, but the big story, I think, going up to New Year's was Clemson. Clemson came out and played a heck of a ball game. Tosh Boyd, he looked spectacular, and a lot of those things that we'd seen all season with LSU in terms of some of the lack of discipline in the back end from their guys, especially Eric Reed, showed itself through, and then they ended up on the losing end of things. And then, as we've seen, again, this is the second year in a row that LSU just, they don't look very good after a long layover. I mean, their team, they got away from their base as they did a year ago against Alabama in the title game. And you've got to know, I think there's a fine line between getting away from your base to try and surprise people and good self-scouting. I think one example, Nick Saban, is good self-scouting, doing things off tendency. And then LSU just gets completely away from their base and they end up on the losing end of things. And then going into the last couple nights, or last night's games, man, I'll tell you what, Florida State, the play calling wasn't great. I think Jimbo Fisher is showing that he definitely does need a real actual offensive coordinator, but that was a football team that looked like they wanted to be there, and I think the Wisconsin-Stanford game played out about like we thought it would.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. What about the Michigan-South Carolina game? Because you saw a couple of key plays, and I go back to that Clemson game. They had to convert, like, was it 4th-and-16 or something?
Oh.
Which was incredible. And then, you know, Michigan comes down and scores, and South Carolina comes right back and hits a big play to win the game. It was there were some great finishes.
There were some really good finishes. I thought Aaron Murray for Georgia had a really good day. But you talk about that Michigan and South Carolina game, I come away with two things for that game. One, when Jadeveon Clowney exploded all over Vincent Smith, that was maybe the most amazing football play that I've seen. I've seen a lot of amazing plays, but that was one of those things where you look at it and it's got that blend of speed, of power, of explosiveness, and athleticism that proves that there's some guys that are just special. Mm-hmm. And then I think we walk away knowing that referees, I don't care if you're in the SEC or the ACC or the Big Ten or the Big 12 or anywhere, the referees are all having a tough time with everything. And I think nowhere was that more clear than in the Michigan game where they gave someone a first down when the ball clearly was not past the chain.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know. I'm like, is it measured to the last link of the chain, or does it actually have to be to the pole? And I'm thinking, do they change something here? Do I not have a good understanding of this?
I honestly don't know if he pointed the wrong. I don't know what was going on. I looked at that play, and everyone's sitting around, and we're thinking, okay, yeah, they stopped them. They got a big stop. They needed that. And the guy signals first down, and just nothing. The best explanation, Steve Spurrier's face when he goes, wait, what? We all just looked at that, and everyone looked at it, knew the answer, and then they made the opposite call. That was one of the most bizarre things I've seen, and I can't wait to hear the Big East, you know, the head of Big East officiating try to explain that one away, because that was terrible.
Yeah, the guy couldn't get away from there fast enough. He's like, okay, yeah, whatever. So we've got a game tonight, Louisville, a big underdog to Florida. What chance do you give Charlie Strong's bunch of getting an upset win, or at least playing it closer than 14?
I think that the Louisville's defense is pretty good. I think you're going to get some things out of them. They're not going to lay down for this Florida Gators offense. And we know Florida's got some offensive issues. They're not exactly Oregon when it comes to being a prolific offense. I think they're going to struggle to score at times. If Louisville's defense can play sound football, maintain gap integrity, it's going to take a little bit through the game before Florida finally starts to just wear them down, because Florida's bodies are better than the bodies Louisville has. I tell you what, though, if Teddy Bridgewater can come out and play one of those wizard ball games, we may have a game that's a contest, you know, in the third quarter. But that being said, I think Florida's defense, a little bit too good, too disciplined, too many playmakers. I think Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he's a little bit hobbled. He's going to have a tough time really, you know, finding the end zone against Florida.
Kansas State and Oregon is tomorrow night, and all year long we questioned Kansas State's ability to pull off victories, and all year long, except for once, they were able to find a way to win. Now, of course, they played a pretty dynamic Baylor offense and got beat. They're going to play an even more dynamic offense in Oregon this week, so what chance do you give them?
I think Kansas State, for them, it's going to be the toughest thing for Kansas State, and their defense is predicated on the idea of make the other team beat you, make the other team beat themselves by forcing them into mistakes. The problem is that works when you're playing West Virginia or Texas Tech or even Oklahoma, where teams are so hungry for big plays, they get away from their base. We saw in the West Virginia game, instead of taking those dink and dump and short passes that Kansas State gives up at will, they kept trying to force the ball down the field. I think with Oregon, because they're based on the run, and it doesn't matter if you're based off the run like Georgia Tech or you're based off the run like Oregon or we see Arizona State with Rich Rod, teams that are based off the run are really okay with getting 3, 4, 5 yards to carry, and they'll wait all game to get that big one. We saw Oregon play against Stanford and continue to work their offense all game long, and they were beating their head up against the wall, but they did it all game long looking for that one shot. I think Oregon is patient enough that they're going to find their creases. They're going to force Kansas State to make those mistakes. So I think Kansas State's got a shot, but it's a lot harder against a team that's willing to run the football 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards than it is against a team that really just wants to get the big play through the air.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting matchup. We thought that might be a national championship game matchup, but I guess we'll take it where we can get it. Cotton Bowl may be the most exciting game, and I was looking at the numbers and something just jumped out at me. The quarterback, Landry Jones for Oklahoma, has thrown for 500 more yards than the Heisman Trophy winner. He's thrown 5 more touchdowns than the Heisman Trophy winner, and certainly Manziel brings a lot with his legs. But Jones has quietly, at least from my perspective, and talked a lot about him, he's had an awfully good year for Oklahoma.
Yeah, but I think the problem is folks remember Landry Jones in those big moments, and he's certainly shrunk away from those. You think about Kansas State, the difference in that ball game is the Landry Jones fumble. How did Landry Jones fumble early in the game, a fumble for a touchdown? Oklahoma's got a great shot of winning that. You think about what he did against Notre Dame and just how, you know, flustered he looked throughout that game. I think those are the moments that people remember more than him going out and torching Texas or having a good game against some bad teams. So I think that's been the issue here. It's not necessarily what your numbers look like. It's a lot more about when you put those numbers up. For Johnny Football, obviously, he did that. He had that great game against Alabama that kind of shot him to the forefront of everyone's mind. So I think it's one of those things where, yeah, absolutely, he's had a good year. But, man, Landry Jones, I'm sure he'd give a couple of those touchdowns away to get a win over Notre Dame or a win over Kansas State.
But will he give is there any amount of touchdowns he can give away to beat A&M this week?
Man, that's going to be an interesting game. The one thing I'm going to be looking for is Texas A&M getting in the backfield. They get after the quarterback very hard. That's one thing they do well. They're not great at stopping the run, but Oklahoma's not going to try and run on them. So I think this is going to be a strength on strength. You're going to talk about a team that's going to want it, that wants to throw the football, and a team that wants to get after the passer. That's going to be the thing to watch. I think Texas A&M is going to win. I think this is one of those games where they're licking their chops to get to go into Dallas and say, hey, look at us. Remember when you told us we were little brother? They're going to go out there. They want to punch Oklahoma in the face. I expect them to go out and get a win.
Michael Felder joining us, BleacherReport.com. A game that a lot of us around here will be watching, but maybe the national audience may not, other than the fact it's one of the last games of the year. Arkansas State playing Kent State, a couple of teams that have had coaching changes since the end of the season. And, of course, Kent State is led offensively by Spencer Keith, who was a Central Arkansas guy, played at Pulaski Academy here. So we'll be watching this one pretty closely. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
This is a game, for me, it's tough because both teams, you know, both teams are kind of overcoming that adversity angle of things. So they lost coach. Obviously, we know Gus Malzahn is gone. It's one of those things where I've liked Ryan Applin for most of his career. I think that this is a game that both teams want to win. I think that Arkansas State is probably better than Kent State, even though Kent State obviously is the higher-ranked team. I think Arkansas State is probably better. So I expect them to go out and get a win, even though they don't have their coach.
What do you think of the Harsin hire at A-State?
Did you watch him at Texas? I think that's going to be a really interesting thing to see because he didn't do anything at Texas that I found to be really impressive. A lot of the stuff that he did was frustrating. So I want to see how it is when he gets in charge of his own team, when he's not kind of the co-OC with Major Applewhite, when Mack Brown's not trying to run things to save his job. I think this is going to be a good thing for Harsin to free himself up to do a lot of things. And I think that he's going to bring some inventive qualities to it. I just don't think that we saw that at Texas, so I think it's good for him to get a job so that he can run things the way that he wants them to run.
Texas won its game, but it was hideous. Where do they go? What's your anticipation of Texas in 2013?
I think they got the win because they had to have it. I think Dolan Ford, obviously, I expect David Ash to be the guy. But they've got to find a way to really commit to the run. I think Major Applewhite, having been in Alabama, I think that's going to end up being a plus for Mack Brown, and maybe from a confidence standpoint and what they can do on offense, and trying to remember that, hey, let's play some tough man football. But it's going to be one of those situations where, you know, they lose a lot of pieces on defense this year. Manny Diaz clearly has issues in terms of getting his players to do the things that he wants them to do on the defensive side of the ball. And it's going to be one thing to watch. And Manny Diaz, talk about a guy whose star is really kind of falling out of the sky. He was the end-all, be-all for a little while. And now, you know, 1 year ago, and now he's a guy that everyone's like, you know what, I don't think we want to hire you.
All right, well, last but certainly not least, the national championship game. Two top defenses, and, you know, Notre Dame, we've talked a little about this, that they've got, I mean, he's not Johnny Manziel, but they do have a quarterback that likes to run around a little bit, and that created issues for Alabama at least once this season. You know, around here, certainly we're SEC biased, and it's a huge line in the game, so Alabama, pretty heavy favorite. What do you think? Any chance Notre Dame gets over in this one?
Yeah, I expect this to be a very close game. This is the game I wanted to see since October, November. I think that both of these teams are built very similarly. I like Notre Dame's depth, especially in that front seven. I like Notre Dame's ability to stop the run. I like the way that their secondary is matured. I think Notre Dame's got a real shot to win this ball game, provided Everett Golson gets a little bit out of his comfort zone when it comes to running more than he normally would in a ball game. I think you hit the nail on the head. If you can move side to side, you can run those sort of the run action fakes, some play action fakes with Everett Golson. You can do those things. You can put pressure on guys like Robert Lester and Vinny Sunseri. And we've seen those guys buckle under that pressure, get caught peeking in the backfield, and you get a big play. So I think that opportunity is there. It's just up to Everett Golson and Notre Dame to kind of walk through that door. I think one thing to watch for this in this ballgame, though, Tyler Eifert, 6'6". They split him out at wide receiver in the red zone. Look, I think Dee Milliner is absolutely fantastic, probably if not the best cover corners in college football. But he's not 6'6". I think that's a mismatch that you've got to take advantage of if you're Notre Dame. But if you're Alabama, you got to hope Barrett Jones is healthy. Mm-hmm. And you got to just go out there and play your game and hope. Make sure that A.J. McCarron, he's got to find his confidence early in this ballgame, because this is a guy that cost Alabama a game and almost cost them the SEC championship game with the interception that he threw to Sanders Cummings, both of those things in the red zone. I think that's something to be aware of. So it's one of the games that, for me, I look at it, I think it's going to be a close game, a slugfest, one that's going to be fun to watch. But I don't think it's going to be that blowout that a lot of folks are anticipating.
All right. I hope it isn't. It'd be fun if it was competitive. Michael, we appreciate it. Again, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for all your contributions. And maybe we'll get you back on around recruiting time.
Sounds good to me. Thank you so much for having me on. You guys take it easy.
You bet. Thanks, Michael. Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com. Good stuff this year. Really enjoyed him. Him and Barrett Salee, which we figured out after a whole season. Salee.
No.
True story.
How'd that one come about?
He said, somebody said to me, hey, it's Barrett Salee with something. And I said, is that how you pronounce your name? He's like, yeah. I was like, I think you would have mentioned that before now. My bad. Could have asked.
He should put one of those.
Yep, he needs a little emphasis mark.
Emphasis mark on the E.
Yep.